are now tuned in to the Bleed Blue Show. Here are your hosts, Steve Blair and Chris Miles.
Edition of the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Fan Series Podcast featuring diehard fan, the Hot Rod. Chris, we got Chris on the line. We got Rod, Hot Rod on the line. What's going on, fellas? How y'all doing?
What's going on?
We are here. What's happening?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Ready to do this.
Cold. It's cold, but we here, man.
Yeah, real quick before we got to get it plugged, because we got a lot of dialogue to discuss, and Roddy's going to hip us to some diehard game, the Bleed Blue Show, BleedBlueShow.com. You can go to iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, Stitcher apps to download all the past episodes of the Bleed Blue Show. And Chris, we have a good one tonight, man. This is he's up there, man. Echelon top diehard fans of the fan base, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Hot Rod. Hot Rod, say everybody that say hello.
Hello. What's up, fellas? What's up, Pete? What's up, G Fam?
What up, Hot Rod?
Hey.
This is the right place to be on a Monday frigid evening. I'd rather be with the Bleed Blue than out in that cold doing more.
Gotcha, no doubt.
So nice to meet you, bro.
Oh, you too, no doubt.
All right, let's get right into it. Hi, Rob, we got to get into it, man. How long have you been a Giants fan, man? Like, how long do you go back with the squad?
Well, I go back to 1987. You know, I can't say, like, you know, a lot of people say I was born a Giants fan. I can't say that, but being that I was originally from Rochester, New York, I was groomed to be a Buffalo Bills fan, but I just couldn't get down with Buffalo Bills. So, 87, I got a chance to meet Lawrence Taylor, and from there on, I was diehard. So, 1987 is when I became a diehard Giants fan.
Cool. That's the right time, too.
Exactly. right after the first Super Bowl, 1986.
Yep, after the Super Bowl.
Yep, so... Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I'm definitely that now.
All right. Chris, you got any questions? I'll go back and forth with you on that.
Oh no, man, I'm riding with you. This is what I've been waiting for, man. Just riding with the groove, man. Having a wonderful podcast series. No problem. I'm just rolling, Steve. Good.
Hey, Harold, let me ask you this, because you mentioned it, because upstate New York, that's heavily influenced with the Bills fans. But why the Big Blue? Why the Big Blue Record Crew at that time? Or because Buffalo is not a shabby team at the time either. They were getting
exactly.
They're on their way.
Yeah, I just didn't feel like I was supposed to be a Bills fan. So, you know, it was like that year when they came into town after winning in 86, I was liking the Giants anyway at the time, but it wasn't a diehard thing then. But when I got a chance to actually meet and shake LT's hand in 87, dude was cool, even though he had whatever he had going on, he was still like, it just put him, it made me like want to be a Giants fan. And I was just diehard from there on. So, that was what it was, LT. So.
You was catching him right off this MVP season, bro.
Exactly.
They don't – defensive most valuable players of the league don't come around very often. I don't know if he was the last one or not, but I know he's one of the rare ones. That was perfect timing on your part, man.
Yep,
perfect
no doubt
timing
about it.
Blue. That's cool, man.
That's what it was.
I'm sorry you had to run right into the strike season after that.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Should have been the back-to-back at that point. Should have been the back-to-back.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. I think, it was, things just didn't work out, but, hey, it is what it is.
Is it safe to say LT is your favorite Giant, or who's your favorite Giant?
By far. He's my favorite football player, period. Period. Mm, yeah,
right.
He is definitely that.
Right. Right.
Yep, so
that's awesome. That's awesome, mm-hmm. bro. It's something really special. Because we've been doing. How long has the show been on, Steve? Like 2.5 years or something like that.
Almost two.
Almost 2 days. Seems like it's longer than that. There's a certain DNA thing with Bleed Blue fans, man. And not with all of them, but. I'm one of those guys that, like you, Hot Rod, is I'm from Queens, New York. Okay.
Yep. Gotcha.
And in Queens, when I was coming through, the Jets had were like 4 years off from Super Bowl,
mm-hmm.
and the Giants were trash.
Exactly.
The Yankees were still the toast of the Well, no, back up. The Yankees were going through a I don't know what they were going through. That wasn't even a rebuild.
Before there,
I don't
before,
know what that was. But,
before DJ,
but,
that's all you can say. That's all you can say, before DJ.
No, that was tough. But the Mets were just like 2 years off a World Series.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was okay with being – I would have been okay with being a Mets and Jets fan. It's just that where I'm from, you're almost pressured to – you must love the Jets, you know.
Gotcha.
You must. Wear a name of or Emerson Boozer jersey, you know. You got to be down with us, or they ain't gonna be. You know, or you ain't a real fan. You know, you can't hang with us. Don't come out to the sporting event. Don't even show your face on my block. Don't let me see you in the street. Don't let
yeah.
me see you hanging out in the corner. You gotta be a Mets and Jets fan, dog. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
And I'm
exactly.
like, okay. Then knowing my nature, I said, okay. From here on, I'm a Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
G man for life.
Exactly.
And when I mentioned that, people then was like, "Man, they suck." I'm like, "That ain't the point. Y'all suck too." But one time, one day we're gonna get around. Oh no,
yeah.
y'all could never, man. Giants are never gonna win anything. You know, Yankees are done, man. Babe Ruth is dead, man.
Exactly.
And so I had to be. That was good. Anything to defy them, I had to be it. And you know what? In the long run, I came out on top. You know?
Bottom line.
No
exactly.
offense to the Jets, but the Giants are still doing their thing. They're a constant contender. And no offense to the Mets, who are a pretty good team, but the Yankees contend every year.
Exactly.
So, you know, I'm happy that we have these forums right here. Steve gives them where we can come on and we can profess our diehard love and prove our so-called cohort, whether they be classmates, family members,
mm-hmm.
whoever, co-workers, whatever, prove them fools wrong and say, hey, look, all that preaching you did back in the day, it was for naught. Because
yeah.
I'm bleeding blue like a mug right now. You see that emblem on my ride? You see this jacket? See this
and
hat?
That's what I tell them.
That's right. And they can't yep. say nothing.
Bottom line.
And
it's not about how long.
Really, really good.
Yep. Exactly. It's not about how long. It's about what you do. It's how you feel about your team. That's what counts.
Now,
you know, because I know a lot of people.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, tell us about you explaining to me over the years, Hot Rod, as far as your goal in life to exceed every NFL stadium. So
exactly.
where are we at right now with that, with the diehard fanship following the Giants? And when did you
uh-huh.
start, and where did it start? And then where are we now as far as the bucket list for the stadium?
Well, it started in 2012, this round, of course. First game was the Atlanta game, so it was the Georgia Dome. And we all know what happened 2012 in Atlanta, that rainy day, which was a terrible.
About the tailgate.
Yeah.
Hated the game.
We're not going to talk
about
that. Exactly. We can leave that alone. We all know. So
yeah.
That, it was just one that year, so but it was a start. I thought about it like in the middle of that season. I'm like, let me go and start trying to hit all these stadiums again and try to do that. So 2012 was ATL. Then 2013 I hit Kansas City, and I hit San Diego. So that was two of the older ones. You know, I wanted to hit a couple of those first before they tore them down. You know how these stadiums are getting built now. You know, so I wanted to hit a couple of the older ones first. So KC and San Diego were the first two that year. So then I did those two. Then in 2014, of course, I hit Dallas. I went to Tennessee, and I was in St. Louis that year. So that was ATL, KC, San Diego, Dallas, Tennessee, and St. Louis. In the last 3 years, and then of course, you know, this year I went. I almost forgot some of the places I went, but it seems like I went to a lot more than I actually did because I did most of them at the beginning of the year. So basically, I went to Buffalo, you know, and Tampa Bay, New Orleans, and what other one did I do? So I did another one. I can't even remember right offhand, but did all together seven
Dallas.
Games last year.
One definitely
yep.
Dallas.
Yep. Yeah, Dallas, exactly. You know, Dallas, you know. So, but, of course, you know, it. Every year I say I want to do four, five, three, or four. You know, it just depends on the schedule and how everything works out. You know, we never know until late March, early April, you know, what our schedule is actually going to look like. So definitely trying to hit. Next year, of course, you know, we're hitting London. You know, we're going to go blast in London, so that one doesn't count. But I'm definitely doing Pittsburgh next this season, and I'm doing Green Bay, depending on the weather. I don't like fooling around in Green Bay in middle December. So it just depends on how the schedule falls. So,
I told you, Chris, I don't do that cold weather. Hot Rod agrees with me, man. I told you, don't
hey,
do
man.
That.
I'm sorry. I'm diehard,
well, hey,
but I'm not trying
you
to
don't have to live
players.
There.
We're diehard above 50 degrees. Diehard above 50 degrees.
That's what
That's why Hot Rod went ahead and switched his allegiance to the G-Men, man, because he know the Buffalo, evening. No joke.
Exactly.
Oh, you know what? Hot Rod, share that story with us about Ralph Wilson. Chris, you've been there. Now, Hot Rod, I wanted you to share the story with Chris and the audience who's going to be listening to this podcast. That experience, was it week four we won that game? How that was when Rashad Jennings went up the sidelines and made that touchdown and leaving that stadium with all those rabid Bills fans?
Yeah, you know, because at first, you know, everybody was like, Buffalo was hot at the time. And, you know, we were somewhat, you know, how it was. We were a little bit on the downside after, you know, those two games that gave away to Dallas and Atlanta, you know, so it was like, everybody was talking about Buffalo this, Buffalo that. And, you know, we went up there and handled business, you know, and it was a good feeling to go up there and take care of them boys, you know, especially with, you know, with the team that they had. I don't even remember, you know, if LeSean even played. Do you remember that? I can't remember that far back. But, you know,
McCoy did not play.
Yeah, I think he did, yeah. But, you know, it was – and matter of fact, Sammy Watkins didn't play either. So they still just thought they were, you know – that much better than us. And, you know, for us to play the way we played up there, it was a great feeling. You know, I you know, right behind the guys, you know, you can hear a lot of, you know, everybody was hype at that game, you know, and the weather was nice up there for a change at that time of year. But it was fun, you know. We took care of business. And, yeah, like you said, the Rashad run was, you know, icing on the cake, you know, definitely.
It had to be quiet like a church mouse, man. And that stadium
exactly.
When he ran up that sideline, man. And when he mushed the guy out of bounds with a stiff arm, a hard stiff arm.
Exactly.
Like, oh man, that was an attitude run. I remember we came on after that post game, Chris, and we was going crazy after that post game in the archives. But I know with Hot Rod at the game, I mean, as a Giants fan, in that it's like a college environment, it seems, you know.
Exactly.
Because you've been there. You've been there when we clinched 7-8 years ago, and Hot Rod was there again. I got to get up there, man. I'm missing out.
Yeah, and their fans are nice. You know, it's not like a, you know, what should I say? It's
That's
like a
what
Philly,
I really
Philly.
Like.
Yeah, I do too. Their fans were very, you know, it was cool. You know, I like the atmosphere. Yeah, definitely. You know, so. Definitely the whole experience in Buffalo was nice.
Yeah, man. You know, it's you know, that's the only thing that I believe. Well, no, they got the Buffalo Sabres. I take that back.
Yeah,
but
yeah, they do.
You know, they really care about their team up there, man. It's not the same kind of. I have to call a franchise out. It's not the same kind of. Arrogance that, say, a Dallas fan has, okay?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, definitely.
These people actually care. They really care about their team. They know about the shoe sizes of which player wears and where they came from, what their mama's name is, their favorite food, and they're really, really engaged like that. Instead of saying, we shouldn't have drafted him, they more are like, well, let's give him another chance, but he got to go. If so and so comes off the DL, they're really deep about it. Really, really. It's like a family kind of situation.
Yeah, they definitely embrace. They embrace their players no matter who they are.
They
do. That's one thing you can't say. It's definitely like a college atmosphere. You know, the stadium looks like a college stadium. You know, and the fans. You know, it's more like a college atmosphere than it is a professional atmosphere. You know, that's what makes it. You know, a different experience. You know, I would recommend anybody going to a Buffalo game at least once just to get that experience because it's different. You know, you don't get it at, you know, maybe Kansas City. Kansas City may be somewhat similar, even though their stadium's a lot bigger, but it may be the same experience in Kansas City. You know, because that was an experience different as well. That when I went to in 2013, that KC stadium. If you haven't been to KC, I would recommend going to KC as well.
That was the week after we got blown out in Carolina. I was at that KC game too, and we lost. Dexter McAllister still running up the field on our special teams
exactly.
that game. Oh, goodness.
We got to be pretty good. And that was one of the things when I started the tour, the first three games we lost. And I'm like, should I keep going? Yeah, you know, should I keep going to these games? You know, we're getting beat pretty bad, 34-0, 31-7, and 37-14. I'm thinking maybe I need to stop going to games, you know. So started off with, like, four losses because we lost to Atlanta, KC, San Diego. Then we lost to Dallas, you know, on that 2014 year. So I was, like, 0-4 when I first started the little tour. So I almost stopped going for a minute. You know,
what keeps you driving to keep on going these games after the losses? Like, what's fueling you to keep it going, man? Like, don't give it up as far as on the team or
that part is just a diehard. I mean, I'm not gonna ever give up on my team. I'm always gonna be a Giant fan, regardless. You know, even the year when we started, you know, the Ofer season, I was still saying this. I'm repping my boys. It doesn't matter, you know. Because everybody has some bad, you know, we all have up and down seasons. So, you know, I'm a ride with my team. I'm not a bandwagon fan, you know, not when we're doing well. You know, when you're doing good, you see a lot of people that you didn't know were fans pop up. Like, man, are you a fan too? I didn't know, you know. But it's in me now. I mean, I like I said, the bleed blue mantra, it's in me. It's just me, you know. I have more Giant apparel and clothes than I have regular clothes. I just be honest with you. I do. You know, so.
Wow. Yep, you bleed blue, you know, like a mother, brother.
Yeah, no doubt. I have one closet of Giants stuff and one closet of regular clothes. You know, anybody going in my room, they'd be like, "Man, you got a closet of Giants?" Yeah, I do. You know, so that's just me. You know, if I'm buying something, it's gonna be Giants first before anything else, and that may be crazy, but that's just me.
So, where you live now, man?
I'm in Memphis right now.
What's that like, man? Prepping all your gear, knowing that Titans fans are looking at you ugly.
To be honest with you, it is actually quite a bit of Giant fans here. You'd be surprised. Mm-hmm. If you'd be surprised, it's about, good. You know, it's a group here of Giant fans, and then it's probably maybe 20 to 30 more Giant fans that I know here in Tennessee alone. So it's close to 50 to 60 Giant fans in this city that I know. So it's not, I'm not alone here, you know, which is straight. And I guess it seems like everywhere you go now, it's Giant fans. You know, we're deep as well, you know, so and that's that New York thing as well. But so, yeah, I mean, it's not, I'm definitely not alone here.
Because, you know, I have a feeling that, and I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. How many Eagles fans are around you, by the way?
Eagles fans? I know two.
That's all right. That's my answer right there. That's what I needed. That's what I needed right there.
Exactly.
Because here's the thing. Our team has won recently.
Exactly.
It's quite a few times, as a matter of fact. And if you want to go really, really in depth, you know, I mean, hey, we've been around four or five Super Bowls in the last 20, 25 years. That's pretty good.
Exactly.
You know?
Each of the last four decades.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So there's the familiarity. You're gonna run into, and you know, the Giants, being a Giants fan is really easy to be, man, because we don't got a lot of nonsense with us. You know,
exactly.
We haven't been in no drug scandals and, you know, cats holding out by the buckload, or what's that thing that New Orleans had that year? Defensive players pay them and...
Yeah, the Bounty Gate.
Jonathan Vilma got all caught up. We don't have all of that nonsense, man.
Exactly.
So it kind of works with us. It kind of works with us. And so I'm glad to know that we are rep down there like that, man. That makes me feel good, really.
Exactly. No doubt.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. All right, that was just for my own edification. I didn't know what was going on, but I like what I'm hearing. So that's cool.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of those guys that are here, they're from the city too. So, I mean, I guess, you know, guys leave the city, they go all over, you know. So you got little nucleuses here and there, and you know, so half of the guys are from New York, you know, be it, you know, where Brooklyn, Queens, wherever they are. But you know, most of them are from the city, you know. So, and I think that's how it is in ATL and Dallas and most of these other cities. They got these big groups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody comes from the city anyway, so it makes it easy, you know. But yeah, so
that sound that weird to be in Chicago and see a whole lot of blue jersey.
actually, there's a big base out there in Chicago.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's
you know,
but I'm glad we're here, man. I'm glad we repping the way we are, and we have the team that we have, and the franchise that we have, and we're just gonna get better. So it's all good.
Exactly.
I like it.
Yeah, I'm definitely liking the optimism. Go ahead.
Now, oh, but my question, you mentioned like half your attire is big blue, bleed blue out, all Giants, and the other is regular clothes. But there's the one trademark, you had the vest. It's like when Giant fans see you on the road, they see the white vest. Can you explain to us as far as the concept? It's like part of your armor, your Giants armor. So explain that to us, to the audience, because they see you on the road, so you got the tailgates. They're like, how did you come with this hot vest?
Well, you know, first of all, I ride bikes, so you know that was a given that I was going to get a Giants vest somewhere down the line. But you know, I was like, I don't want a black one because that's the standard, you know. So I'm like, what color can I get that would stand out, you know? So I was gonna do red, and I'm like, well, nah, that's basic as well. So I just, let me get the white one and see what it looks like, and then I continued to get the things that I needed to get it done. And you know, the lady who took care of me, she did it, and she showed me what it was gonna look like, and I'm like, okay, that's what's up. I'm gonna like that. So it took about a year to think about it, you know, and kind of do what I needed to do to get it made. So once I got it made, I was like, let me make it. I won't say anything, but when I bring it out, I'm going to see what everybody thinks about it. You know, and I got, you know, everybody was like, man, that thing is cool. And everybody was asking me where I got it from. I'm like, well, I had it made, so you can't go and buy this. You got to put some work in and get it done, you know. So, and even to the day, to today, people still ask me about the jacket. So, but yeah, it was just something that I had in mind, and it worked that way.
Yeah, it's the signature for Hot Rods. Yeah. It's like his brand, man. It's part of his overall makeup as far as the diehard fan. Because when you see Hot Rod at the tailgate, like it's Hot Rod, it's the best. That's what you're going to see.
Exactly.
That's how he represents.
Yep, no doubt about it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right, man. I gotta see it, bro.
It's the toughest vest in the fan base, man. He's hands down.
Well, we'll see. All he had to say was the magic word. He said a tailor, so you know. You say that to me, man. I just go batshit. So yeah, after the show, give me her number, man. Let's work.
Okay, no doubt. Because you're not the first person though, so I'm still working on that for everybody.
you got a new one up for next season already, or are you going to hit them up when you see them?
I'm working on it. I hadn't really gotten into it yet because I got so much other stuff going on. You know me, I'm doing something here or there, you know, so I'm working on it, though, definitely.
Gotcha.
Yep. All right. My bad. I like that. I need me one, too. Maybe not the very same style. If it's not sold on the racks at Modell's or something, I'm taking it. I gotta be down. That's cool, man.
Yeah.
That's too cool.
And I definitely got a few things that I had done myself, you know, that's definitely not out there as well, you know, some of the shirts that I was wearing and things like that, you know. So I'm always thinking, like I said, anytime my mind is working, it's all about the Giants, you know, and that's what it's about with me.
Oh yeah, man. Well, I can definitely concur with that. All right. So what do you do do you actually come out with an agenda? You know, every year you say, okay, this is where I'm gonna head this way. Let me see what the schedule look like. How does this fit in the budget? Blah blah blah. You work it out like a roadie, or
what,
do you like
some
basically?
Do
you have a secretary? How the hell you do all this traveling?
Yeah.
How do you do this?
Trust me, man. It's me doing it. You know, I do all the legwork. But what I do first is look at the schedule. You know, I look at the warm weather games, and you know, honestly, if it's a game that I want to go to, and it's in late November, December, I'm probably not going to go if it's not in a dome, you know. So I just wait till March and April before I start, you know, scheduling things based off of the schedule and how everything plays out, you know. So most of the warm weather games, I definitely do those. And like I said, it's basically going to a different stadium that I haven't been to. So that's kind of how I look at it. You know, so like I said, basically this year, I know for sure that I'm trying to hit the Green Bay, the Pittsburgh, because I hadn't been to Heinz Field, even though I'm, you know, I went to school up there, but Heinz Field wasn't there when I was going to school. So I want to do the Heinz Field. I want to do Green Bay next year. And then the other ones would just be based off of, you know, how the schedule falls. You know, definitely London's going to probably count for two games next year. Be honest with you, you know what we, you know what we spending on that one. But you know, it is what it is.
Well, at least with that one, you know in advance exactly the date for that game.
Exactly.
Because the other games,
exactly,
as of right now, we don't know.
We don't know.
Yeah. But yep. So if Green Bay is before Halloween, it's a good chance you're going to go. But let's say if it's close to, I don't know, Thanksgiving.
Most likely, I'm going, definitely.
Okay, so Green Bay may be the exception to the rule because
Green Bay may be the exception. Except, like I said, as long as it's not December, I definitely don't think I'm going to make it. But unless they got some seasonally weather that, like, if I find out, like, within a couple of weeks before that the weather's going to be nice, I might. But I try to schedule everything, like, 4 or 5 months in advance. So that's how I, you know, can do most of the trips that I do.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking at. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, man.
So it'll
Get your publicist together, brother.
me as a publicist. I definitely try to get it all done by, you know, like I said, mid-May is when I have all my everything scheduled. You know,
so I already know by then
what I'm doing.
Now, if you hear that, cool, fans out there listening to this audio archive, take these notes. Listen to all right. Know what the hell he's talking about. Listen to this man.
Sir.
That's right.
Yep,
listen,
so,
brother.
You know what he's talking about.
I know a little bit. I might not know everything, but I just do how it works for me. So I can't, you know, tell everybody to do it the way I do
it.
You know, it just works for me, you know. So, mm-hmm. So that's what's up.
Okay, bro. Okay, Steve, you saying?
Now, I was going to ask you, this past season alone, Hot Rod, home or away, take away from what happened on the field. Let's talk about around the game, like, you know, the tailgates, the parties, the events. What city or was it the home? Is it a specific home game? Was it a road game that you say, oh, man, this was cracking? What was your top two maybe? Like home
top
or road,
two.
Your favorite one because of the atmosphere, the people. Which one did you enjoy the most this past year?
I'll be honest with you, man. That's a tough one because I can't say a top one because, you know, when I started, Dallas was – the first game in Dallas was off the chain. You know, we did the cruise and, you know, we the way we kicked it in Dallas was, you know, off the chain. But then, you know, we did that Dallas home game. That Dallas home game was off the chain, you know, and it was the Tampa Bay game when we was in Tampa. That game was straight, you know. So I say between Dallas, Tampa, I wish New Orleans, the weather wasn't bad. I think that would have probably been even crazier if it wasn't for the rain and, you know, just the bad tailgate situation when they had to cancel all tailgate. I think that might have been, you know, but.
Right,
so,
right.
Dallas and Tampa Bay probably were the top two for the most part.
Because in Dallas it was like 82 degrees right before the game. It was hot. Now, I think New Orleans – it rained. I think it rained Saturday.
It rained Saturday
into Sunday.
Saturday morning. Sunday morning it was really bad, and they called off all the tailgates and things like that, so you couldn't really do anything. But that Saturday night we did kick it, and we had fun that Saturday night in the rain. You know, so it was. I'd say all together though, Dallas and Tampa for sure were the best two last year.
Yeah, Tampa, you know, it was like in the streets with the Giant fans. We saw a lot of Giant fans just in passing. Whether we was in the Ybor City area, the tailgate was like a gazillion Giant fans. Because it's like, you was at the game, that stadium was half Giants, whole tailgate, the whole experience.
And that was JPP's first game back.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, so it was a lot of good moments for that weekend, for sure.
That's cool. I'm glad. Man, y'all had a great old time, bro.
Yeah, it was. It was a great experience. definitely that. Yep. So.
All right. What'd you say, Steve?
No, I was gonna say if you had a question, but I'll throw one more in before you could go.
No,
but,
I'm listening. I'm just listening. I'm grooving, man.
Who do you hate? Okay, let's get to the nitty gritty with the fan. Who do you hate? What fan base do you hate? What fans you can't? We're gonna ask everybody.
You know,
I might as well get it.
But you know, a lot of people would always think it would be Dallas, but it's not. You know, and from it's always been Philly. You know, Philly has always been that fan base that
hey,
obnoxious.
Besides Chris. Besides
you know,
Chris.
I love
hey,
you,
what's
I love
up?
You, man.
You know, they're just, they are. Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't even go to Philly game, to be honest with you. I won't even go to a Philly game anymore because I've had one bad experience with Philly fans, and I see them all the time. They just don't know how to act, man. You know, so I wouldn't put myself, anybody who I go with, you know, in that line of fire just to even, you know, be called out your name for no reason or just to be, you know, Philly fans are the worst fans in probably all the sports, not just football, but all the sports, in my opinion.
You can do the top five on that.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Dallas fans, I put it like this. Probably most of my friends are Dallas fans because, you know, Dallas fans are like, I always say Dallas fans are like roaches, you know, but it's a bunch of them. You know, I give them that. They're just obnoxious and they're funny. So I don't hate Dallas fans. They're just funny to me because they're 20 years and running on living off of the last Super Bowl, you know, so I laugh at them all the time, you know, in their history. So they're cool. You know, I don't dislike Dallas fans. You know, it's the Philly fans when we're talking about dislike. So that's sorry.
That tickled me. 20 years of running.
Exactly.
Oh,
you know.
All right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just, as soon as you said that, I just had this vision of Eazy-E. Thank you, man.
You know, that's all he got. That's all he live off of, though, man. You know, the history. You know, what we did back in the 90s. You know, okay, what you guys are going to do soon, recently. You know, you had your chance a couple of years ago, and you blew it, you know, so. It's just funny with Cowboy fans, so you know. But yeah, that's about how I feel about Philly fans. Though I won't even go to a Philly game anymore.
I don't blame you, man. Now here you got Hot Rod, a world champion, a real giant time traveler, who said for the record, right here, the Bleed Blue Show, I don't even go to Philly no more.
Exactly,
and you know that's how you say that's rivalries have made of it. Okay.
I think that Philly tally is catching up with us, Chris, because we here on this podcast, we've had a lot of Dallas and we had a lot of Philly, and that Philly started to gain some steam, man. The last several, we bring in these diehard fans on here.
Yeah, because, you know, you can't really hate Dallas. You know, Dallas, the fans are obnoxious, but it's a funny obnoxious to me. It's not like, you know, like the Philly fans. Philly fans are just mean and dirty. You know, they're just
off the chain.
I don't think, you know, they haven't won anything, so they got that disdain for anybody else. You know, especially
right.
And, you know that we get. And that's probably how they are with the whole division, really. You know, so it's like they're so mean, so bad, mad that they can't. They haven't had a ring. They're like, let's just do whatever we can to get on these other teams' nerves, and they really do that. So yeah, yep.
I don't know. I'm just over here tickled, man. I love this, man.
Yes, sir.
He hates Philly. I mean, you guys might be brothers from another mother, man. You talking his language right now?
Yeah,
you're talking
his definitely.
I love it.
Now, when you go on the road, Hot Rod.
Go ahead. I was just saying nothing important. I was just saying that, you know, okay, like the Panthers fans this year,
uh-huh.
All right? We have a regular caller, man, who's like, oh, man, I can't stand it. The fans are arrogant. And I know where he's coming from. But to a degree, I can kind of appreciate why the Panthers are feeling the way they are. It's a new thing for them.
Exactly.
But they haven't been around for 70 years, you know, and the last championship they won was before – during the Kennedy administration, and they have the nerve to be arrogant now. It's not like that. They're only 20 years old.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I can
let myself
be an obnoxious for a minute. I can't deal with you talking to all this nonsense. You ain't won over 50 years, dude. Like, you're doing it every year, we got this going on. We're going to take this decision. Everybody know we're going to be deep. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
That's my point.
You know,
that's my point. Exactly.
That.
Win something
that
first.
That really gets on my nerves,
you know,
man. It really does.
me too. It does. It does, me too. I mean, that's the main reason I cannot stand Philly. You know, it's like they are every year, this is our year. We're going to do this. Almost like the Cowboys, but it's just worse because they hadn't won anything. You know, like, this is our year. We always beat you guys. Okay, if you do beat us, What else do you do?
That's okay.
When you get in the playoffs. Exactly. Like, you don't do anything. You get to the playoffs and you win, you lose one. Then what? Okay, you're back where we're at, on the couch. You know, so I'm like you. I just can't stand Philly. I swear I can't stand Philly.
Back on the couch.
Know, so, exactly. You know, so, and that's really the only team, you know, even, you know, like I said, Dallas and the Skins, I have no problem with the Skins. I mean, I actually, the Skins, you know, that's another tailgate that I missed that I wish I would have went to as well. You know, that I heard that tailgate was off the chain as well. You know, so I that's another one that I want to try to make next year, you know, because I heard they have so much fun. And so definitely that one next year is probably another one that I'm going to try to make.
All right.
Wow. You know.
The preparation of going to these games, home or road, however you want to look at it, Hot Rod. So, do you have, like me, I used to be a fan where I learned from lessons in life to, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it myself. I'll see you when I see you. If you're rolling, you're rolling. Do you have a road dog? Do you have somebody that you say, hey, that's my ace, we rolling out? Or you say, hey, man, I'll see you when I see you. What kind of, are you... You know, yourself when you're on these roads, or you meet up with people. Like, well, how do you look at them? Because I think that's part of the reason with some Giant fans who are on the fence, where they want to go, but they don't know that they're unknown. They probably haven't traveled as much. Like, how do you take that? Like, what's your approach?
Well, from the start, like I said, in 2012, 2013, you know, I wasn't connected with a lot of these guys in the groups and a lot of the Facebook people that I, you know, that we kick it with now. You know, I didn't know all these people, you know, so. Going by myself, it was like, okay, let me book this, and book that, you know. And if I see somebody, then I'll see somebody, you know. Like, but like now, you know, I try to, you know, talk to some of the people that I see on a regular basis and see, like, okay, where you stand, or where you guys gonna, you know, what time you gonna be there, you know, things like that. You try to do that now with a few people,
right?
But ultimately, you know, like I'll say, like the trip that they were planning last year to come to New Orleans, you know, a lot of people. At the beginning, saying they were going to New Orleans last year. It was about 100 people, you know, and then all of a sudden ended up being maybe 15 or 20 people that actually went, you know. So I did learn that, you know, you want to try to get as many people going together because that makes it a better experience. But for me, when I go to more games that I go to, I can't wait until the last minute to book my trip. I want to get mine done in advance, so I can save money, you know. With many trips as I go to, I'm not going to tell you that I'm doing that well where I can just spend and spend and spend. I'm trying to save, you know, because I want to do as many as I can. But you got to be on a budget, you know. Everybody's not, you know, certain people that can go to every game or whatever, you know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But, you know, I can't do that. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I can. So I want to try to budget as far off in advance where it's cheaper as I can. So I will let people know, okay, look, I'm gonna try to book my tickets and my things like in say the middle of March or middle of May, I should say, and I let people who I think may want to go. I mean that I let them know that, you know, look, this is what I'm gonna try to do this. So if you want to go, let me know and we can get tickets together, get seats together, get hotels together, you know, and it'd be cool, you know. So that's what I try to do. But you know, reality is I usually end up booking it myself and then just meeting people there, you know, at the tailgates or whatever. You know, and that's kind of how it usually ends up going.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought
I'm sorry,
man.
I was just listening. No, because you just kind of described my life, man. You know?
Yep.
You know, always scheduling, always planning. You tell people, you know, 6 months ahead of time, hey, this is how this is going down. I just emailed it to you. I put it on receipt so you can hit me back. And tell me, you know, so telling me that you got it, and then I'll call you back later for a follow-up. Call them back for a follow-up. You get it? Yeah, but I didn't open it yet. Well, you need to open it, and you need to check it out. What did you say? You open it, goddammit, and you tell me what to say, you know? And that's really no different. That's really, really no different than what you just said, bruh. And so I'm just, like, living my life vicariously through... your tail right now, man. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Putting it against my life and go, oh, man. So, you know, just not me. And the people that I'm referring to are diehard Eagles fans, too, man. Ain't that something?
Gotcha.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
you know.
But, yeah.
No, go ahead, Howard. You was about to say something. Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing with what he was saying because, I mean, I've dealt with that, you know, people saying they're going to go and they're going to do things and then they. later on they changed their mind or something came up, you know. So in order not to just get myself in a predicament, I just go ahead and book mine. You know, we're gonna eventually be in the same place anyway when it comes to tailgates and the game. So, you know, we can all meet up wherever, like we did in Tampa and, you know, the other places. We all knew where we were gonna meet up, so we'll just see you when we see you.
That's it.
What is the best thing about being a diehard Giants fan, going to a lot of these games? Like, what's the thrill you get about being leading the blue for the Giants? And what's the thing you find the best as far as doing what you do?
For one, just meeting new Giant fans and seeing how many Giant fans there are in every one of these games we go to. You know, it's like amazing thinking, like, you know, when I went to San Diego, I didn't expect to see, you know, I thought maybe I may see 20, 40, 100 Giant fans. But I saw at least 2,000 or 3,000 Giant fans in San Diego, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, this is cool, you know. And then you go to Kansas City and you see 3,000 or 4,000 Giant fans or more. And, you know, like, and you start to think, man, Giant fans travel. You know, Giant fans, passionate Giant fans, and just myself, you know, because, you know,
right.
I see people coming farther away to games than I am, you know. So, it's just the fact that you get to see all these Giant fans and, you know, how many people are dedicated to Giants and diehards, you know, that it's not just me. It's a bunch of people that are diehard travelers and love the Giants, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the cool part. And then you get to meet a lot of these people, you know, in all walks of life. You know, it's not about a black or white whatever. It's all about the blue. You know, that's another thing I like about it. You know, we can't say everybody gets along, but most of the Giant fans get along. You know, of course you got
right.
different little cliques and everything you deal with, but for the most part, I've got Giant fans that are all ethnics, all genders, all everything, you know, and we all just look at it as big blue, bottom line, you know. So that's the part I like about it, just meeting people. Every game you go to, you meet somebody different that's a Giant fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally concur with that, Chris.
Yep.
Totally concur you know, with that, so. Christopher.
Say again, nope. Say the last part again. I'm sorry, man.
Yes, I totally understand where he's coming from, man. I see
the
same
thing.
Oh, man,
I live where he's coming from.
Yeah.
I get it, man. It's, you know what? But, see, I like this thing, man, this vagabond thing that you do, man. You know, you hit everyone. You got an agenda. And now let me ask you something. Do you actually have this documented, man? You got pictures and little videos and put it
most
together,
of
that,
most
man,
of it.
This is my trip to St. Louis or whatever.
Most of it's on Facebook.
Like,
yeah, it's all on Facebook. And then Facebook, you know, they do these new little things now that they put together for you. But I got a bunch of it on my Facebook page, you know. So it's a lot. Everything is basically documented based off of them. You know, I put it like that. But I have pictures and videos from all the games and, you know, different tailgates. And, you know, we had a bunch of videos and pictures. So, yeah, I do have it all documented for the most part.
Okay, cool. No, I was talking about something more personal, like your own personal diary, my travel to here, to there, to the other thing,
yeah.
You know, that kind of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, somewhat.
I
really was just enjoying the experiences, man. You know, I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, you know, not even just Giants, but other things as well. So it's just been one of these things I've just been trying to enjoy life lately, and that's kind of been
right.
what I've been doing, you know. So, you know, basically through the pictures and, you know, just being able to post them on Facebook so when I need to go back to them, I can go back to them that way. So that's basically all the documenting that I have done with it. But, you know, it's really a cool thing to be able to just say you did this and did that. You know, remember that I didn't tell you about the Atlanta game. You know, the Atlanta game at home, I got a chance to go to the Atlanta game and the Yankees game that same day. Which
that was a Mets.
Cool.
That was the Mets game.
The Mets, yep, the Subway Series. Yep, I got a chance to check that out.
You have fanship with the Yankees as well, correct?
Diehard Yankee as well.
Okay.
Exactly.
He's crazy now. He's two out of four already. He's two out of four.
I'm telling you, I'm a big fan. You know?
Yes, sir.
Man, you know what? And I'm looking at Facebook right now. I'm trying to find you, bro. I'm going to get you right through now. So we won't dilly dally. Waste any more time.
I've known to do that too. Hot Rod and Chris knows this, but like I'll look at the let's say when the schedule comes out for the Giants and mm-hmm. you try to pair up a Yankee game and a Giant game the same weekend. It doesn't happen mm-hmm. too often. If they're it's doable, you might have to catch a flight, a quick hour, 2 hour flight. Do you target that like that too? When you try to
nah,
Yankees
I'll be honest
and the Giants.
You. You know, I'll be honest with you, that one was just luck, and that was just luck on that one. It just so happened that that Atlanta game was that afternoon. I mean, the 1 o'clock game, of course, and then that Yankees Mets game. That game happened to be a 7 o'clock game, and mm-hmm. I was able to be able to try to get over. And matter of fact, it took me all the 5 hours to get from the Giant Stadium to City Field.
I bet it did.
So, you know, every bit of it. So, normally I probably wouldn't have made it, but you know, so yeah, it was just. Basically, I had already scheduled the Atlanta game, and I guess the Mets were hot, and the tickets came available, and I just went ahead and jumped on it, you know. So I just got it and went ahead and did it. So that was a pretty cool experience.
All right. I got a question for the team, man, for Hot Rod, man. What's your thoughts on this new head coach, Ben McAdoo? And also just your thoughts on the team last year, how they performed, or lack of performance, or how you want to improve this thing with the squad.
Well, I'm going to touch on Ben and another one of the coaches afterwards because I got a unique story about a couple of those guys that I've just realized, like, a couple of weeks ago. About, matter of fact, I'll go with that first, about Coach McAdoo. And Frank Cignetti Jr. Frank Cignetti Jr. was a senior receiver at the college I went to when I was a freshman receiver. We went to the same college. So mm-hmm. we were both on the same football team. I was a freshman, he was a senior. So that was
you play wide receiver, huh?
Yeah. We both were at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. So he was a senior and I was a freshman that year. So I knew him and I've been following his career the whole time, so I was surprised when he got picked up. But what I didn't know is because I didn't really pay attention to McAdoo, to be honest with you, his whole career, is that McAdoo went to my college as well. He graduated from IUP as well. So both of those guys graduated from the same college that I graduated from.
Wow.
So that's kind of a unique situation. And me and Frank, like I said, we were on the same receiver corps for a year. So I do know him. You know, I just hadn't talked to him in so long. So it's kind of cool, a cool story that, you know, we all have a tie together. So, of course, you know, I'm going to try to see if I can get a hookup.
I mean, when you catch your touchdowns in the end zone, were you doing the salsa? Were you doing any props?
Nah, you know, we weren't. That was back a long time ago. So they didn't have video back when we were playing. it was a minute ago. So, but that was a pretty cool story, though. So I do have some that I could do. McAdoo and Frank Cignetti Jr., but so that's pretty cool. But going on last season, as you know and we all know, it's just more about a disappointment. OBJ was our only bright spot last year, of course. Odell was our only bright spot. You know, Eli played. We made some decisions this year that I just didn't understand, you know, especially giving away that Dallas game. I don't know what you guys feel about it, but I just feel like we gave that game away.
I walk with you in spirit, my brother.
You know, so, and that's just, you know, and they say it was Tom's decision from what I'm hearing, but I just don't believe that Tom would even pass in that situation, you know, and then why not go on fourth down? So the season just seemed like it wasn't right for some reason. Like they was trying to get Tom out of there even at the beginning of the year or something. It just didn't seem right to me. But that's just my opinion. You know, I don't.
Well, since you brought it up, we'll get back to the season. But since you brought it up that week one, leaving that stadium, because I've shared the stories. Matter of fact, we came on right after that game. Well, not right after, but later on that night with Beast of the East Victor to do a recap of that game. And that was probably one of the longest walks I ever had out leaving the stadium in a long time. And how did you feel about that, leaving that stadium? Because a lot of people saw that game on Sunday night, NBC.
I was sick, you know.
Yeah.
I was sick because of the fact that, you know, it just didn't make sense. The play selection just did not make sense. You know, like, why were we dropping back to pass, and then it just didn't make sense to me, man. I didn't get it, you know. And then even on fourth, fourth and goal.
Nobody got it.
Exactly, you know. So, you know, and that's the thing. We were all confused. So the season was. It was kind of like, you know, with these ups and downs, and you know, then, you know, with Vic was another thing that kind of, you know, it kind of upset me this year. You know, because, you know, we didn't know he was that hurt. You know, a lot of people. You know, I saw the man in, let's see, the Mayweather fight. I saw him. I actually shook his hand at the Mayweather fight. So he was still out and doing his thing, but if he was still hurt as much as he was, why did he wait till the end of the year to get another surgery? Or was this another separate injury? I'm still not clear on that. You know, do you guys got any, could you shed any light on that, you know? Because it seemed like it was the same thing, and then he find and got surgery afterwards, you know, like later in the year.
I think he was messed up all year long. I mean, I'm sorry. Let me back this up. Let me back up what I just said. I think he was never well. I think this surgery, I mean, this injury is a lot worse than we think it is. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot they didn't tell us to not draw unneeded attention. I think that there's a lot of problems with that, and I love the man. I like the excitement he's brought here. I like mm-hmm. his camaraderie. I like him as a person, but I think we need to go ahead and trade him. And it's not easy for me to say that about every Giant, but there's something else here that we're getting hosed on. Because if you remember, both of you guys remember, he got hurt in the fourth game of last season, two seasons ago,
exactly.
or however you want to look at it. So if you really look at it, we've gotten at least one, two, three, and not even counting training camp, at least three or four false starts on his return.
Yep,
he was
exactly.
always supposed to come back. And
yep.
then there's those situations where he comes to practice fully dressed for practice
yep.
with the pads and everything and sits there the entire practice.
Yep. Or he has a so-called
don't even lightly sprint or nothing. I have
exactly.
a problem with that.
Yep.
I have a problem with that, man. So,
yeah.
hey, that's,
so, yeah.
That's what I'm looking at.
Exactly. You know.
Gotta go.
I you know, on the bright side with the season coming up, we have a lot of money to spend. I think personally, you know, I have to say that this should be Jerry Reese's swan song if he can't get what we need, you know, this year. I don't see him giving him another year if he can't get it right this year with as much money he has to spend. You know,
right.
I like him personally, but, mm-hmm. you know, when it comes to the job, we need somebody else to do the job, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a lot of money, and I think we can totally redo the defense where the defense next year could be a top five defense if they spend the money right. You know, I think we can do that, you know. So I'm just looking forward to what we're going to do with this money. You know,
What about the draft? Same thing with you as far as the anticipation with how we spend the money in free agency in March and then go on to the draft in April. Is the same approach for you?
Yeah,
are you looking at it?
I think it. Yeah, I do, because I think how we do in free agency, which, you know, it'll affect, you know, who they pick, you know, because I'm seeing now that they got us picking some defensive tackle, you know, which these mock drafts, I don't really care for mock drafts, but
yeah, me
you
neither.
Know, some defensive tackle out of, what is it, Oregon or something, they got us tagged to pick, or some other defensive tackle. I don't, like I said, I look at them, but I don't really pay attention to them. But you know, we have needs everywhere, so it's not like, you know, we're saying defensive tackle. Yeah, we're hurting there too, but you know, we're hurting that linebacker. We're hurting it. You know, we got a safety that's a in the box safety. We don't have a safety that can cover. You know,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
we're hurting there. You know, what are we going to do with Prince? You know, I'm hearing that they may bring him back now, but you know, at first they're saying they're going to let him walk. So we don't know. You know, our organization doesn't talk about things. It's only speculation. So we don't know. You know, so
which
it's
is
a
one
lot
of
things.
It's funny. It's a blessing and a curse. We don't
exactly.
talk about, the organization don't say anything, but at the same time, I like the fact that they don't play themselves either, man. You know,
exactly.
they sort of like, you know, when all the inquisitive questions come, they kind of mum about it and say, look, man,
yeah.
something that we're taking care of internally and we'll do it. So
exactly.
I don't know. Sometimes I think we don't need that.
I do too.
Sometimes
but, you know,
I think it's glad they do.
Exactly.
I don't know.
But if you're a fan of the Giants, you know that they don't talk about anything to do with the organization,
nope.
anything to do with picks, or the draft,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. They don't talk about it. So everything anybody says is pure speculation. You know, like
exactly.
some of the media sources, like the Enrique Trust and some of the other places that are supposed to be in house, but they speculate because they don't know. You know, so
they speculate exactly.
You know,
Chris,
so,
I've said that for how many years on this platform? How many times?
Forever.
Roddy's pretty much mm-hmm. he's pretty much confirming everything I've been saying, you know.
Yeah, you know. So like I said, the only thing I can say is we have money. We got a top 10 pick. We need to make sure that we capitalize off of everything. You know, one thing I can't say about Dallas is as much as I can't stand them, they have made their last 3 years of picks. They have hit, you know, with these linemen they pick, these guys have been doing a good job picking, you know, with their draft picks. We got to start doing that. I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, outside of Odell and Flowers this year,
Richburg.
Yeah, you know, Richburg. I mean, we got four decent players out of the last, 4 years maybe? Draft pick. You know, so I think that's where we got to do a better job is doing better in the draft. You know, our scouts they got to get better as well. So, you know, we'll see. I'm optimistic about the season because I think with the money we have, we can become a contender again next year. You know, if we get a rebuild, let's just go ahead and get these people we need and contend. You know, I don't want to have to go through a 2-year process or something like that, like, you know, most teams do to get back. You know, so I'm hoping that we can build, you know, with free agency and through the draft and compete.
Mm. Right. Okay. Cool. All right, Steve. Sorry.
No, you're cool. I had a couple more, and we'll wrap it up. But let me ask you this: Hi-Rod, you brought up the speculations in between football since the Super Bowl. We have drafts and agency and all that. But as a fan, though, let's look at it, fan level. How the hell do you get through this, man, with no football? How do you get through no traveling? How do you get through this, man?
Well, you know, I was in Vegas this weekend, so that's how I get through it, taking trips.
Damn, well,
you know,
man. There it is.
but no, seriously, man, it is rough, you know, and I'm put it like this. I'm a basketball fan, but I hate to say it, since Mike and some of the guys in the old days, I'm not as high on basketball as I used to be. You know, I still watch it, but basketball just doesn't do it for me anymore, so it's a struggle for me getting through this time period, you know, I look forward to the doggone combine and, you know, you know, just anything to do with football, I'm looking forward to it. So, I mean, anything that has to do with football, I'm ready for, you know. So this is the rough period, man. I'm looking forward to OTAs and anything to do with, you know, when they reporting, you know, for whatever, you know. So, yeah, with me, football, without football, but at least baseball's getting ready to start too, so I can kind of jump on that for a little bit, you know, even though it's spring training. But, man, football is king to me, so it's going to be a struggle trying to get to the summertime.
Y'all be killing me with this struggle,
I know, man.
I've been hearing it all the time. I'm not going to be able to make it. There's no tailgates. There's no nachos. There's no wings.
It's like New Jack City. We got football pookies, man. They're going
It needs to be a football rehab, man, in every state, man.
Yeah, but it's contagious. It's contagious.
I know.
You go to these games. Matter of fact, Hot Rod, Chris was at that D.C. game, man. This thing is contagious, man. You can't get enough or more. Like, you go to one game, like, damn, I got to get on another one, yo. I got to get to another one. I got to get to another one. It's like, all going. Before you know it, then the season's over.
My
name is Chris Miles, and I'm a giant addict. Hi, Chris Miles. I've been addicted to the Giants since 1970. And you need it. I guess you need it. And you know what's a good therapy session? This one.
Yeah.
See, what we do here at the Bleed Blue Show is definitely designed for that football withdrawal. Giant withdrawal, whatever we want to call it, we'll deem it. It's cool, man. I like having this kind of fever.
Or
just
kind of
sickness, or whatever you
want to
call it, man.
It gives me a little fix. I get a fix. That's about it. I get a fix. For real.
I like it, man. All right.
Yes, sir.
What about, you got any family or friends, like closest friends or family that are Giant fans? Like, maybe not diehard level as you, but anybody you could go to is like, hey, man, you want to watch the game? Like, who, do you have anybody in the family that's Giant fans?
Yeah, honestly, most of my fam. Buffalo or Dallas, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
How's the holidays with that?
It's fun, especially when Dallas is not winning. Of course, you know, Buffalo hadn't done anything since their four in a row. So, I mean, I'm still king when it comes to us. You know, we're the most recent Super Bowl winner, so you know, I still have the talk. You know, I still can say whatever. So, you know, I'm good. It's just that, you know, I don't worry about the fan. I don't worry about the fan. So yeah, it's just me as a Giant fan. And like I said, I based it off of LT. Thank LT for that.
Oh, man.
They don't make no players like that no more, man, as far as a little bit straight hands to a degree. But, I mean, it's been a while, Chris, and Hot Rod, as far as that type of that player, that dog, man.
That's another thing that we're missing. That's another thing we're missing. You know, we don't have a BJ, no Brandon Jacobs, no Bradshaws, no straight hand. We don't have a vocal leader anymore. You know, we've lost it.
Right.
You know, Eli, you know, he can lead by example, but he's not a vocal leader. You know, and I think that hurt us in the last couple of years of not having that. You know, even especially with, you know, with that situation with ODB and the guy at Carolina?
Norman.
Yeah,
Norman.
You know, I think if we'd had a vocal guy, somebody could have kind of calmed him down a little bit. You know, it was like he didn't really respect anybody else on the team at that point. Like, nobody else can tell me anything because I'm really the star of this team now, so you can't tell me anything. You know, I'm just going to do my thing, you know, and just let me do it. You know, even Tom, you know, Tom didn't even do anything about it. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to find it anyway, but we don't have that anymore, and I think that's kind of hurt us lately.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's another thing that I wish we can get, but... You know, I don't think OD can be that person, you know, because, you know, everybody's got their comments about him, which that's the one thing it irks me about how they talk about him, which, like, what does it matter? Let the man play. Whatever he does in his personal life is his personal life. I care less. As long as he performs on the field, what does it matter what the man does, you know?
I agree wholeheartedly, man. You know,
so.
All I know is he keeps giving us great performances.
Exactly.
You know?
Bottom line.
And so he should be compensated in terms of respect, first off, man. Because I don't know what the stat was, Steve. You mentioned it a few weeks ago, man. He's only played X amount of games, and already he's way ahead of the ball. I mean, way ahead of whatever Rice or whoever else has done.
Yeah,
So that tells on he's done it on these two teams.
Exactly.
So
and he missed four games.
That leads me to believe, you know, that there's more he has to offer. So imagine if you built a team around him. And
exactly.
I'm thinking that's what McAdoo's thinking. You know, I always say this, and I'm always going to say it every podcast, Steve. I don't know what McAdoo, how this is going to turn out, but I'm always going to respect the man because before he even moved in, and Hot Rod, this is important to me, before he even moved in his new office good, the dude hired a strength and conditioning coach.
Exactly.
First thing he did.
Exactly.
That means
he knew something.
I don't know who anybody ever asked him anything, but to me that means, hey, I see something that needs to be taken care of right away.
Yep. That's a fact. That is a fact. You know,
and I love that. I love it. So he always got my respect right off the jump.
So what do you think about him keeping Spags?
Christmas.
What's your feelings about that?
I think that other than the organization and other than Jerry Reese, I think that Spags and McAdoo have developed their own kind of camaraderie, and that has something to do with that. Something might have happened during that little period where everybody's, you know, all these coaches are being vetted by other teams, and you know, you had the McAdoo interview there, and Spags was wondering where his future lies, and he got interviewed by the Giants, and blah, blah, blah. All of this stuff happened. In between there somewhere, Spags and McAdoo had a conversation or got to sit down at dinner or something and should pretty much figure out where they were going with this. And because Spags came back with really no fanfare. I mean, like, he sort of like said, I'm here. I'm in. I'm buying in. You know, so somehow they got Reese in the mix, and there was some dialogue this time instead of this closed-mindedness that Coughlin used to have, which is like, hey, look, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. I don't have to tell you why, which is more militaristic. Whereas McAdoo's more like, yo, fellas, look, we lost four games in the fourth quarter like this. We had a lack of this. We need to address this, and we need to do it by draft and free agency. So, look, let's get together. Let's see where we can go with it. And somehow Spags got caught up in that, and that's why he's here again. And because Spags can't do the job. He's just the personnel. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree with that.
That's what I was getting to, you know. Mm-hmm. Personally, year one, I mean, you couldn't expect him to do much with what we had. You know, we right. didn't have, you know, like one of Bill Parcells' favorite things. You want me to, what's the favorite thing about the grocery?
At least let me buy the
groceries.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he didn't have it. You know, he just didn't have it. So, I mean, I think year two with his scheme in there and everybody kind of understanding what he's expecting, maybe, you know, it's going to be a little better with the players, you know. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think, you know, he probably can breathe a little bit better now that he knows he's in the fold, you know, and McAdoo's going to deal with the offense, you know, with Donahue. Is it Donahue
mm-hmm.
we kept?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's going to work, you know. We'll see, though, but. Like I said, all in all, we just need the bodies. We need some performers, some guys that's going to get in there and make some noise mm-hmm. and do that. So we got a long way to go, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm counting down.
That's right.
Two more questions out of me, and then I'll wrap up. I mean, if Chris has anything for you, and that's fine. This is a Bleed Blue Show with the Hot Rod, diehard fan Hot Rod. My question it goes back to the fan aspect. We know the matchups next year and all of that, but do you have like a bucket list? I know you said you want to hit every stadium, but
mm-hmm.
what are the top three right now on the list that it's must go if you could go right now? What top three stadiums are you trying to get to if you could? If we could play them right next season?
Well, the one I missed a couple of years ago was Seattle. I definitely want to do Seattle.
Oh, I regret that one too, man.
Yeah, because I was going and some things came up, so I couldn't make it. But Seattle is definitely one I want to go to. I would say I still want to do Lambeau, you know, that traditional stadium at Owen that I want to hit that one.
Yep.
And then right now I would say – what's another one that I Pittsburgh. Definitely Pittsburgh. You know,
okay.
just
mm-hmm.
for the fact that I think, you know, everybody got Pittsburgh as a favorite going into next year. So it's just to see the stadium and just to see the team, how we play against them next year. So I say
mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh, Green Bay, and Seattle right now will be the places that I want to go. I do want to check out the Levi Stadium, you know, eventually because I heard it was a nice stadium. It's way out, but I heard it was a pretty nice little stadium. So I want to catch that one too, but definitely Seattle, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh.
All right.
All right. Man, it was nice meeting you, man. Nice talking to you too, bro.
No doubt.
You know,
yes,
I mean, it's always wonderful to be around family, you know?
Yeah.
Family that
mm-hmm.
bleed the same blue blood that you do.
Exactly.
You know, and then go back and, you know, that could actually appreciate the, you know, just the basic sense of being committed to one spectacular, and I know I kiss the Giants fast. I don't care who cares, man.
Yeah.
We are a class act organization, bro. You ain't never.
Exactly.
They've been around. The New York Giants franchise, Steve, been around 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the last strike among player dissension thing, the big holdouts. I don't remember any scandals of any kind that you could say, oh, man, well, that was fucked up. Remember that long period? You can't pin that on the Giants, man.
Nope.
You don't have anything
nope.
like that. They care about their players. They try not to dime them out. They try to – a few years ago we had Will Hill going through all that nonsense. And
mm-hmm.
the press, as crazy as the New York media is, they didn't know half of the things that was going on because the Mara family tried to hush it and help the brother.
Exactly.
You know? So you gotta love something like that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, if you work at Walgreens and something like that, you ain't gonna get that kind of love. But if you play professional football, and you got the ownership going out of their way to make sure that your stuff don't be out there, and they millionaires and they can get, you know, you and normally they far away removed from something like that, then you gotta love that organization, man. You gotta respect it. I love the New York Giants organization. That's just me.
I appreciate
hearing from people like you, bro. Who are
yes, sir.
John Diehard really committed to what we love and what exactly. we respect as being a class act situation. And so I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you for coming on the show and everything tonight, man.
No doubt. Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I appreciate you guys asking me, too, as well. And I do want to add, though, you know, fellas, I always tell folks it doesn't matter if you go – just because I go to games, that don't make me a more diehard fan than anybody else. You know, it's about the feeling that you have in your heart for this team, you know. You don't have to go anything, but if you're diehard about the Giants, that's what matters. It's not about who goes to the most games. It's not about who spends the most money. You know, it's not about that. It's about the passion you have for the team. When they're doing well, you have passion. When they're not doing well, you have passion. You know, it's about when you're riding with them when we're at our worst. If you're still a diehard fan then, that's what makes you diehard. Not just because we're winning and then you're buying a shirt or buying this and buying that. I've never felt that. You know, I just know that I always wanted to go to more games, you know. So that's one thing I wanted to make clear with some of the people, because people are like, man, just because he go to these games, that makes him more diehard than anybody else. No, that's not even it. That's not even it. It's like I said, it's about that feeling. You know, it's about when we 0-6 and you got to hear that, you know, and you still going for your heart for your team. That's diehard. You know, so
that's right.
That's what I like to add about that. You know, so
I'm mad.
Awesome. I love all the way.
Any final thoughts for Big Blue Nation, anybody who bleeds blue, any thoughts you want to share to the fan base that's going to hear this audio repping New York Football Giants, or just football fans in general, anything you want to, your final thoughts?
The fact that this game is still healthy, you know, the Giants we're coming back, you know, yeah, we were 6-10 last year, but guarantee you we're going to be back in the mix. We're going to be back in the mix. And I'm just looking forward to next year. You know, looking forward to what, 2016. We're here now, but looking forward to this season. And looking forward to McAdoo's regime. And hopefully he get it back together. You know, I think the owners have confidence in them. I'm going to ride with them. I believe what they're doing is what they feel is the best thing to do. And we're going to go with it, you know. I'm not one of these guys that try to be the GM. I can't be the GM. That's not my job. That's Jerry Reese's job, and I hope he do well. You know, and I'm gonna ride. I'm with him 100%.
There you go. All right.
Looking forward to this season.
Yeah.
All right. I'm good,
man.
Steve.
Man, yo, you know what? You heard from the legendary diehard fan, the Hot Rod, New York Football Giants diehard fans, man, on the Bleep Bleep Show.
Yep.
Hot Rod, man, we can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing your story. A lot of things I didn't even know that you shared, man. And that's the thing about what we do. We like to spotlight real fans like yourself, man. And I'm glad you had the time to take the talk with myself and Chris and sharing your story with the Giants, man.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me.
All right. All right, Chris, let's wrap it up, man. This is the Bleed Blue Show, bleedblueshow.com. You get this audio archive featuring the diehard fan. Hot Rod, iTunes, Podcast Republic, tune in your Stitcher apps, and also is going to be featured on BleepBlueShow.com. Man, yo, we gotta get him on later on in the summer, man. Right after the withdrawals, after he gets his fix, you know.
Exactly. Let's do that. Hey, book it. I'm down. No doubt about it.
Wait. Hey, Hot Rod, you be like, they be calling me.
Yes, sir. That'll work.
I love it, man. All right, man. Great meeting you, brother.
All right, no doubt. You too.
All right, Blue, baby. Blue.
All right.
Blue. Shout out.